It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall. And our program host is Mr. Vincent Creel, who is Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi. He will be joining us in just a few moments. He is en route. But opening up our program is our co-host every week, Celia Dobbs-Walton, Public Affairs Specialist for the City of Biloxi. Good morning, Celia.
Good morning, and thank you for the introduction. We are recording this weekly podcast on November the 17th at 10:03 a.m. And we have Vincent Creel will be joining us shortly, as William said. And we have a few issues to talk about, such as some road work that's going on, and we have a few things going on in the fire department, such as new helmets and fire stations. And to join us, we have Fire Chief Joe Boney.
Good morning, Cecilia. Good morning, Mr. Sackett.
Thank you for joining us. Well, let's go ahead and start. We had something big that, well, two big things that happened this week for the fire department. One was the new helmets. Tell us a little bit about that. This is the first time that this has happened in years, so tell us.
Yeah, this is the first time since I can remember in my 33 years on the department that we have ordered this number of helmets. We're going to a Carnes 1044 helmet now. I know that doesn't mean a lot to people, but it is a traditional looking helmet. But it has a lot of new technology built into it. It's the latest helmets that come out, it meets all of the National Fire Protection Association standards. And it's really a wonderful piece of equipment. The department has helmets, and we're supposed to replace them every 10 years. Well, a lot of these helmets we currently have are out of date. And so we took advantage of a grant that we found, and we're very lucky to be able to purchase 106 of these helmets.
Not to get too technical, but can you roughly tell for our listeners the old and the new? What's this new advantage? Because I can imagine in today's world of technology, these are probably pretty cool helmets, but in layman's terms, old to the new, why are you excited?
Well, the one main aspect of them that you'll see is you won't see the big plastic shield in the front of the helmet anymore. These are new shields. They're defender shields, called the fender shields. And what they do is they go up in between the cap and the safety cap of the helmet. So they're protected when not in use. A lot of times when we fight fires, we don't use the shield because we have our face mask on. In the event of a car accident or something where our eyes are in danger, they can just flip these and it comes down and it just covers their eyes. It protects the eyes.
Now, one thing, Vincent Creel, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi. Cecilia, thank you for starting the show for me while I was late, and I'll tell you where I was in a little while. And thank you, Mr. Sackett. Now, I don't want people to get the impression that these guys are going out there right now with football helmets.
No, and the original, the old helmets are, they met the standards 10 years ago. But as you know, that's one of the main key factors. Another key factor in these helmets are the safety. Another safety factor in them is they have what they call a crash cap. The shell of the helmet, if you have a major impact, the shell of the helmet will actually break away from the safety cap. The safety cap will stay on your head and protect your head. So if you have a large object fall on your head, it's liable to glance it off of it as the cap comes off of it. So that's another big factor in them. You know, we did all this also while being able to go back to historical look of the helmet. You know, the guys like the fire department is all about history, and the guys like the history of the helmets, the old style helmets, and these are the old style looking helmets, and they actually also have a big shield on the front with the big eagle, and it's got their ID number, their badge number on the helmet, so any officer on the fire ground will be able to quickly identify these firefighters. All these are things we didn't have before.
And about electronics, anything updated in that respect? In the helmet itself, I'm ignorant of the helmet. Communication, anything like that they've updated or changed or?
No, that's typically not designed in the helmet. That will be in the face piece of the air packs that we use.
You bring up an interesting point because, you know, you look at the advancements in technology and so forth. And, in fact, in NFL football games, if you look at the quarterback, on the back of his helmet's a little green dot, and that's for his communications device with the coach on the sidelines. But You have pointed out before in one of the newest fire trucks that y'all got, I think last year, you moved away from electronics.
Yeah, we you know, water and electricity don't mix. And so we've found that in the fire service. We were getting bogged down with a lot of new technology that hadn't really been tested real good. And so we kind of got away from a lot of the electronics on the pump panels themselves. You know, you can get real specific and have electronic nozzles, I mean, outlets and inlets and everything for these pump panels. All these gauges and everything can be electronic, but when you lose a piece of that electronics, you lose a lot in firefighting. So we have gone back to the traditional and the mechanical side of it.
On the stuff that is vulnerable to water, stuff that's on the outside of the truck.
Right, and I'm sorry, I should have told you that on the proven side, you know, from the water, getting the water from the truck to the firefighters, we have gone back to the mechanical part because it's just more reliable than the electric.
William, there is something that Cecilia was going to get to this thing, and I know it's something that the fire chief is very excited about. You're going to get...
We're not going back to steam, are we?
Steam locomotives, steam fire trucks. We're talking about two new fire stations, and one of them, I don't want to get too exuberant here because we're looking to start construction sometime next year, but the one at Cedar Pops has been a station that is what, 15 years in the making?
Right. Back when the original Wool Market annexation went through, they put a trailer up there, and it was just a temporary thing until they could have a station built. Well, here we are 15 years later, and we're finally we're a lot closer now than we have ever been, so we're very excited.
The men have been there. They have been working at Cedar Pops, and this is behind the Home Depot, and this is where that big water tower is. We've got a communication center there. We've got a mobile home where the firefighters are, and there's a police and fire garage right next to that, which is where they have to put their fire truck. But tell people about what the station is going to, some of the amenities of this new station and the benefits.
Well, the major benefit is that it will amass all of the equipment that we need in that area that presently is farmed out to other stations in other areas. It's not in a location that's most advantageous to the fire department in our response. We will be able to house a pumper, a ladder truck, a command vehicle, and an air truck, which is used for filling air bottles and things like this. Hopefully, in the very near future, we'll be able to get a second heavy rescue in the north, and that's very that's really needed along that I-10 corridor there.
What is a heavy rescue?
Well, a heavy rescue is not a pumper or a ladder truck. It's a box truck, and it's got a lot of big compartments, and it carries specialized rescue equipment for extrications, trench rescue, collapse rescue, these types of specialty rescues.
So that station is going to be a big asset, but there's going to be another station. I know y'all are still working on the exact location, but the second station that we're talking about is going to be I guess you would call it a typical fire station?
Yeah, if you ride past Station 2 down on the point or Station 9 back in the Eagle Point subdivision, that station will look just like that one. I will say Station 7 will look basically like that, but it'll be on a larger scale.
Cedar Pops. And how do you decide where these stations go? I mean, we've been identifying, much to my chagrin, and I think yours too, that we're building a station in Ward 6 and Ward 7. You don't care what ward, do you?
Absolutely not. It's about response time for us, and we're bound by the State Rating Bureau to be able to provide fire protection within a certain geographical area, say 2 miles or a 3 mile radius.
So between each station, you would hope to have 2 to 3 miles.
Right. Ideally, a mile and a half is what they look for. And down here on the peninsula, that's what we have. But up in that area up north where there's not as much, you know, the population is not as dense as it is down here on the peninsula, in areas up there in the north area around Wool Market, We're not required to have a station as close as we are down here. So we've been in touch with the state, and we've been working with them. They've been helping us all the way with this program, and we've designed and come up with the most advantageous area for the city at this point to put a new station.
Give people an idea. I mean, I know what our fire rating is right now. I know you do, too, and tell them how we are on that. And then also I want you after that to talk about what happens when there's a fire every 3 to 5 minutes. How does that fire grow? But first talk about our fire rating and what you think this will do to it.
Well, our fire rating is currently a 3. We are one of 3 departments in the state that currently have a rating of a 3.
Lower the better?
Right. Starts at a 10. A 10 is the worst, and it goes down to a 1. With these stations and with the training facility that we're hoping to build at Station 7, we fully intend for this rating to go down to at least a 2 and possibly a 1.
Wow. Why does John Doe, property owner, homeowner, and business person, even care what the rating is?
Well, first off, it tells you what type of protection you're getting, but more importantly, money-wise, it reflects on fire insurance within the city.
For all of these advancements that you're seeing and the new stations that are being talked about, the new trucks, the new helmets, do you think that you're ever going to be able to hold a candle to the technology in the police department?
I don't know that would happen to the police department. You have to realize the police department probably makes 2 to 3 times the amount of calls that we make. Their equipment is not as elaborate as our equipment is.
But they do have every toy known to man.
That's absolutely right. And I will tell you that one day, if I ever get a helicopter, I'll be ahead of the police department when that happens.
Joe Boney, I want to thank you for joining us. If someone wants to email you.
Yes, it's jboney, B-O-N-E-Y, at biloxi.ms.us, and we welcome everybody's comments.
He will never get a steam fire truck, William, I'm sorry to tell you.
But I like the new helmets are good. It's like the hood ornament on a 47 Packard. I can appreciate the nostalgia. And it's very respectful that the men want to reach back, you remember? That retro look is so hip, so cool.
Now, by the way, we've talked about all of these helmets and so forth, but what we want to advise people to do while you're listening to this, click over to the Biloxi Fire Department Facebook page, and you can actually see video of these new helmets where Joe talked about them with a reporter from WXXV. Cecilia, tell me what's happening on the roads. I know we've talked about Cedar Lake, and they worked again last night.
Yeah, they did that. That's actually part of the Pops Ferry widening project that has been going on for several months. They're getting close to the final stages, but what they're doing now is putting in paving at the intersection of Cedar Lake and Pops Ferry.
A lot of milling work. And what they're going to do is they're going to be out there Monday to do the last bit of paving Monday night. Why are we doing this at night?
It'll be 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. at night, and it's because of less traffic, safety for the workers and for the traffic.
Among the other things we have going on right now, William, is the last portion of Back Bay Boulevard has been paved. So the fire chief and I get all excited. Okay, good. We're going to be able to drive on that road. They are still doing center median work. They're putting the dirt in center median. They're putting the landscaping in, which essentially is sod. So it's going to be brown for a while, particularly since we're going into winter. But we are looking at, today is Thursday, coming up is Monday. 1 week from Monday, they are promising that road will be open. And I know the fire chief has been watching that, too, for emergency responders. So that's what's happening on Back Bay Boulevard. We are right now milling, taking up the old asphalt off of the parking lot at the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor. The boat launch is closed right now at the Biloxi Small Craft Harbor. The contractor's hoping to have it open Saturday so boaters can use it. Paving will come a little bit later, we're thinking the week after or so, but he is working to take off the old pavement, the old worn asphalt right now. Fire chief's nodding his head on this, too, because he has this thing known as a fireboat right down there, and he needs to get to it from time to time. Tell me about Christmas, okay?
Yeah, Christmas is just around the corner. Of course, Thanksgiving's next weekend. But as we've said in previous podcasts, that the city is preparing for the holiday events. We have a deadline coming up, actually tomorrow, Friday, for the Christmas on the Water Children's Parade. It's the deadline for parents to get in their registrations for the children. We also have the Boat Parade registration, which ends next week. Actually, the day before Thanksgiving is when boat owners need to get in their registration to the Parks and Recreation Department to register their boats for the parade. Now, both of these will be the first weekend in December, December, I believe, the 2nd and the 3rd.
Which is when there's going to be an open house down at the Visitor Center, and I think he's got 50 vendors, artists and craftsmen, who are scheduled to be down there inside and outside of the Biloxi Visitor Center. You can find out about that event, and boy, it would be nice if we had a list on the website, Cecilia.
Well, we will. We will. In addition, though, I will say one more thing. Is for the part of the Christmas on the Water is the Christmas in the City festival that will be in the downtown Rue Magnolia area. And deadlines is at the end of this month for vendors to put in to sign up to have booths for that. And all that will be the first weekend in December. And all that information will be listed on our website. We're going to have a page of just holiday events, Christmas holiday events, where anybody can go. Just click on the page. They'll be able to get basic information, see the flyers, contact information, all they need to know, on our website at biloxi.ms.us.
But the big question, William, is when? When are we going to see this?
Should be today or tomorrow. Should be online.
As you go right now. William, we talk about Christmas and it's December 25th, but however, as Cecilia noted, the reason we're talking now is because our event is at the beginning of the month. So that's why it's important people sit up and take note now. Any questions you have or anything you want to say?
Yeah, you know, all these podcasts, and we have our beloved chief here and different people we have come on, and Vincent always makes a note of my love of STEAM, and it just dawned on me that I could reach out to the people that listen to us every week. Do you have any interest or connection or pictures or anything about STEAM here on the coast? wsackett@gmail.com. I'd like to hear from you. Anything of history or so of how STEAM, because STEAM is what built our country, and then we moved into gasoline. So I thought I'd tell that, because I keep talking about STEAM, so I'm thinking, hey, we may have some real jewels in our community.
What is the address again?
wsackett. WASACKET, I'm sorry, WASACKETT at gmail.com. Anything about STEAM, I'd like to know about it.
W and then ASACKETT at gmail.com. After all of this, I pray you get a picture.
It'll be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been City Desk, news and views from City Hall with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. We thank all of our guests, and we thank you for listening. This is William Sackett speaking.